You have your Bibles this morning. Take them and turn with me to 1 Samuel, please. 1 Samuel, chapter number 20. 1 Samuel, chapter 20. I thought about reading the whole chapter, but it's 42 verses, and I'd like to just get into the message this morning. For sake of time, I'm going to read the first three verses and then read verse 37 through verse 42. I trust that maybe you go home this afternoon and read the entire chapter, because it'll be a blessing to you. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. First Samuel chapter 20 and verse number 1. And David fled from Naioth to Ramah in Ramah, and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Verse 37. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond thee?" And Jonathan cried after the lad, "Make speed, haste, stay not." And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto the lad, and said unto him, "Go, carry them to the city." And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south, and fell on his face to the ground, and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another, and wept one with another, until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever." And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. You can be seated. Please pray for me and pray with me. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege to stand in this holy place. Lord, this place was dedicated to the preaching of thy word, a place of worship where God's people would gather together. Lord, you said very clearly in the book of Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Lord Jesus, surely, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. Help us to be about your business. Help us, our Father, to be encouraged and to be encouraging one another. Lord, I pray today you clothe us in our calling and help us, God, to be a help to your people. Speak to the heart, Lord, of that one that's not ready to meet you. I ask you, please, speak to that heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm titling the message this morning and doing it on purpose. Somebody might be flipping through the Bible Wayside one day, and maybe for no other reason, the title of the message they would click on it and hear the message. That would be my prayer. By the way, we do have people listening that we don't even know about that let me know from time to time. But I want to preach this morning and give you some parallels from this story that I read in your hearing on truths from a Trump rally. Truths from a Trump rally. I want to say in the onset of the message, it is not my intent to be political in the sermon. I want to say in the onset of the message, if you're sitting in this congregation and you wish that that bullet would have taken President Trump out, you're sick. And I want to say the same thing. If our president now, President Biden, were standing in front of a group of people, and you would be glad to see a bullet go through his head, you're sick. That's the way I want to open the message today. Whatever happened to Americans being Americans? Whatever happened, beloved, I'll tell you one thing that's happened. There's a group of people in our country that despise righteousness. They despise this Bible. They despise the church. They despise this kind of singing. They despise this kind of preaching. They despise the Lord Jesus Christ. We need help. Our help is going to have to come from above. I want to show you some things. The Lord, I had another message kind of on my heart. Brother Jason called me yesterday, and as usual, he said something like this, "Pastor, do you have the mail?" And I said, "Well, Brother Jason, I've got the tracks, but I need to get some cars on it." Amen. Railroad tracks ain't going to help nobody. You got to have a car on it. Amen. And I've already been told this morning to unload the wagon. So if you don't like it when I get done, I'll show you the lady that told me to unload it. Amen. You can take it up with her. Amen. If you weren't here last Sunday, get somebody to tell you what that means. I want to show you in the scripture. Last night I was sitting there, just any moment, getting ready to make a break for the building. I got a building above my house, a shop, where I go to pray, go to study, go to meditate, go to ask God's will, service after service, for this precious people that I have the privilege to pastor. And I was getting ready to go just any moment, and I really wasn't going to listen to President Trump's whole speech. And I'm not saying this in a derogatory way, but I already knew what he was going to say. Amen. We got some problems. He was going to address them. And I was getting ready to go when the shots were fired. I want to say some things about it this morning. Number one, in verse number one and verse number two, David fled. He said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What's my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" I want to talk about this congregation, talk about that crowd in the rally, and make this statement. Whether you're saved or whether you're lost, we all have an enemy. And a lot of people this morning are thinking that the enemy was laying on the roof with an AR-15 about 130 to 150 yards from the stage. Honey, there's a lot bigger enemy than that. That's behind all of this. He wants to destroy our country. He wants to destroy our homes. He wants to destroy our churches. He wants to destroy, beloved, everything that God has built up in this great nation that we live in. The Bible said your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. I believe with all of my heart, even among Christians, many times people look at another person and think they are their enemy. No, 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 no. A brother and sister in Christ can never be one another's enemy. But there's an enemy behind the scene trying to tear down the precious fellowship that we have in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's an enemy. Saul was jealous of David. And you can think this or not, but I believe there's a lot of people in this country that are jealous because one side has a rally and there's 600 and the other side has a rally and there's 50,000. You can say whatever you want to. Say amen. You say, Pastor, where'd you get that in the Bible? How about this? They said of David, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. And beloved, that set it up in the heart of Saul. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Amen. So the first thing I say this morning is saved or lost, we all have an enemy. Last week, we buried Sister Frankie, one of our precious ladies here at the church. She's had dementia for years now. And she was a blessing. One of the things I said in the funeral service is you can hardly say her name without saying Brother Dan's name. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. It was always Brother Dan and Sister Frankie. Brother Dan and Sister Frankie. God took two and made them one. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, beloved, the Bible said this, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I'm going to a place where we'll die no more. I'm going to a place where there'll never be another funeral. There'll never be another ICU. There'll never be another nursing home. There'll never be another pain. There'll never be another sickness. There'll never be another sorrow. We won't even need the sun, for the Son of God is the light of that city. Hallelujah. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where the lamb and the lion can lay down in the same place. Amen. Thank God Almighty we have a promise this morning. That last enemy is going to be destroyed. And that last enemy is death. The second thing I want to say is that former President Trump, and I may not always say that in the message today, he's a man that don't mind to be called Trump. But I want to say this, in God's providence and by God's grace, he survived last night. You say whatever you want to. Say whatever you want to. Let me give you something. You say, Pastor, where did you get that in the scripture? How many believe you ought to preach out of the Bible? Say amen. Watch what it said in verse number 3. Thy Father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. I promise you this morning, if you could interview President Trump this morning, you could just read his true social posts. I may do that in a little bit. But you would understand, beloved, that he understands that God spared his life last night. I'm talking about that much. Are you listening to me? And the whole side of his head is opened up. I know what a high-powered rifle will do. The Bible said here, your Father knows. And you know what I believe? I believe the enemy knows. Even this morning. Not only that David had found grace in Jonathan's eyes, but that our former president found grace in the eyes of the Lord. David had a friend. His friend's name was Jonathan. Last night, President Trump's friends were his supporters and the Secret Service. But I want to report to you this morning that every child of God in this building has got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And the man that wrote the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. He knew what he was talking about. We've got a friend this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this. I looked up some things last night because I'm not saying this in a boastful way. It's just something I've happened to be involved in my life, in ballistics. In other words, if you're going to hit your target at 600 yards, you have to know how fast the bullet's going. You have to know what the bullet weighs. You have to know the ballistic coefficient of the bullet. And thank God that we've got computers now. Used to you had to do it by trial and error. But now you can get on a computer and you can enter all this in. Enter the elevation where you're at. Enter the humidity where you're at. And beloved, when you fire the first shot going on that information, it's going to be real, real close to the point of impact. I did this just a couple years ago with a 300 Winchester Magnum. There was a target at my boy 600 yards away. The target on the piece of steel was as big as a softball. And my first bullet went in at 1 o'clock in that dot. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? Here's what I looked up last night. Was there any wind? And the answer to that is yes. The wind was blowing 7 miles per hour when that bullet was fired. Now, what was the distance? Some are saying 130. Some are saying 200 yards. But beloved, listen to me. At 130 yards, a 7-mile-an-hour wind would have pushed that bullet approximately 1.25 inches. What have they been saying on the news all night and all morning? 1 inch. Actually, it wouldn't have even taken that. I know a 0.5 inch would have opened the whole side of his head open and everything on the inside would have been hanging out. I'm just telling you, beloved, in the divine grace and providence of our God, amen. I'm telling you, when David threw that rock at Goliath, hallelujah, I said it had a GPS on it, God's positioning systems, amen. And I believe God, listen, I'm not even sure, you listen to me, that we could have church this morning if that bullet would have hit that man in the head. There would have been a bunch of rednecks on a bus or in a truck on their way to Washington, D.C. I'm just telling you, we're living in dangerous times. Saved or lost, we all have an enemy. That's a truth from a Trump rally. Trump, in God's providence and by God's grace, survived that bullet. Number three. There's but a step between you and I and death. There's a young lady here that told me a while ago that in 9 months, she'll be a doctor. I thank God for doctors, don't you? Especially when I need one. And it seems like that's getting more often. But I tell you, half or three quarters of an inch. There's not enough surgeons. There's not enough doctors in the world to save that man's life. When I read this statement, this is how God really birthed this message in my heart. There's but a step between me and death. I thought about the close calls I've had in my life. If you've ever been on a big construction site, there is a thing that goes on the back of a bulldozer called a ripper. And what they do is they drop that in the ground and they're actually breaking up the soil behind them while they're pushing the soil in front of them. Then they back up. Instead of pushing tight soil, they've already loosened it with the ripper. I was a welder in Baltimore. The company that we were welding for called on to us. We had a 3-hour minimum. We charged you at that time $45 for 3 hours, whether we welded 3 hours or whether we welded 15 minutes. So that company called on to us. They said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to burn hard face rod on the teeth on our rippers the rest of that 3 hours. And that was pretty smart on their part, amen. We're going to pay for 3 hours. We're going to get 3 hours. It was bitter cold, Brother Rick. And so I asked them if I could take it back to the shop and weld on it indoors. They said, sure. So they took a loader and they loaded it on my welding truck between my welder and between my toolbox. It was a big shaped tooth like that right there. I didn't go a couple hundred yards and a woman run a stop sign in front of me. I slammed on my brakes and that tooth rolled. I'm talking about probably weighed 2 to 2,500 pounds. That tooth rolled and come through the back glass of my truck. And when I turned around, it was right there at the back of my head, that much further, and my lights would have been out. The worst part about that, I wasn't saved. That much further. And I had to lift my eyes in the region of the damned, never to have another opportunity. A boy built a tree stand. I was in it when I was about 20 years old. He made the stand. It fell with me. I fell 23 feet, Brother Michael, to the ground. I could lay my hand on a rock twice as big as this pulpit, and my head did not hit that rock, but I could lay my hand right on that rock. I'm just telling you, God spared my life. Are you listening? You say, Pastor, you're trying to scare us. I'm going to tell you this. Every one of us is going to get in a vehicle. We're going to head to the house after a while, but there's not one guarantee that any of us will get home. I'm telling you, I may not get to that home down there on Amos Chapel, but glory to God, I got a home. If I don't make it to that home, I will make it to that home. But a step between me and death. I was in Atlanta when I was a missionary with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Everybody knows about Interstate 75 in Atlanta. If you don't try to find out. My boy went to Florida on vacation and he went around Atlanta. He don't want to go through Atlanta. I'm telling you, it's awful. I thought I knew how to drive growing up in Baltimore. Say amen. Them people up there are crazy, and I don't care if you tell them I said so. Amen. Amen. Can any good thing come out of Baltimore? There's several. There's 40, then there's 95. Either one of them will work. Just get out. Amen. Any way you can. I was getting fast lane going through Atlanta, Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, the whole 10 years. That's as close as I come to dying. A guy gave a signal. His rear wheels are even with my front wheels. He gave a signal, and here he come. Not in front of me. I mean, knows what happens if his rear wheel hits my front wheel. So what did I do? I hit the median. But what was in the median? A pallet. That pallet, I ran over that pallet. It went everywhere. I mean everywhere. I brought the car to a stop. The grace of God, I didn't have a flat. The grace of God, I didn't turn the car upside down in the median. And my first reaction was anger. I was so angry. If I'd have had a nail between my teeth, I'd have bit it in two. You idiot. Amen. If you drive like that, you ought to be called an idiot. Amen. But you know what happened? My next reaction, I began to cry, Brother Mike. I said, God, you took care of me. It took me 30 minutes to get enough break in the traffic to get back out in the interstate. I'm just telling you, beloved, there's but a step between you and I and death. Saul hunted David like a dog. And David knew it. And he knew there was but a step. I want to say this. Number four in the message, there's hope for humility. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 41 and verse number 42. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 41 and verse number 42. The Bible said, and as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground. You know what David realized? He realized that God was taking care of him. Brother Gary, God had made David some promises. They were going to come to pass just like God said. When God promises something, it's going to come to pass. And David fell on his face to the ground. And he bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. I believe it was a touching scene. I believe, beloved, that these two men loved one another. I'm going to say this in a pure way. Anybody's got any of that other mess in their mind, amen, has just got a mess in their mind. I'm glad I have some brothers in Christ in this world that I'm close to, amen, that I can talk to, and that would put themselves in danger, amen, to help me or to protect me. I thank God this morning for this story, and there's humility that's exampled here in the life of David as he falls on his face. Verse 42, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee,
between my seed and thy seed forever. If you know your Bible, you know that later Saul gets killed. Later, Jonathan gets killed. And you know what happens? David, he begins to remember this covenant. And he says, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And they said, there's one Mephibosheth. He's down there in Lodabar. He's lame on his feet. Oh, glory to God. David said, go get him. Amen. I used to think, beloved, maybe they would just fix him a little room. But he said, oh, no. He said, I want you to bring him to the king's table. If you get a hold of this, beloved, you're saved by the grace of God. God's got a reservation for you at the king's table. Say amen. Amen. You're not going to be offered in a chamber somewhere. Hallelujah. Our God said, just come on to the table. There's hope for humility. Read something to you. I'm shaking all over. That's all right. I want to read something to you this morning if I can. I believe this was last night. This came out on what they call Truth Social. I want to thank the United States Secret Service. I want you to listen to the difference between last night and this morning. Just listen carefully. I want to thank the United States Secret Service and all of law enforcement for their rapid response on the shooting that just took place in Butler, Pennsylvania. I love this. Most importantly, I want to extend my condolences to the family of the person at the rally who was killed. I love that. And also to the family of another person that was badly injured. It is incredible that such an act can take place in our country. Nothing is known at this time about the shooter who is dead. I was shot with a bullet that pierced the upper part of my right ear. I knew immediately that something was wrong and that I heard a whizzing sound, shots, and immediately felt the bullet ripping through the skin. Much bleeding took place. So I realized then what was happening. God bless America. You say, Pastor, what would have President Trump have realized had that bullet been 3/4 to an inch towards his nose? I'll tell you, he would have realized nothing. He would have had no pain. He would have been dead in an instant. Listen to what he wrote this morning. Thank you to everyone for the thoughts and prayers yesterday, as it was God alone who prevented the unthinkable from happening. I don't know this for sure, but I doubt President Trump slept much last night. He had a long time to meditate and think about what had happened. Then he said this, we will fear not, but instead remain resilient in our faith and defiant in the face of wickedness. Our love goes out to the other victims and their families. We pray for the recovery of those who were wounded and hold in our hearts the memory of the citizen who was so horribly killed. In this moment, it is more important than ever that we stand united and show our true character as Americans, remaining strong and determined and not allowing evil to win. I truly love our country and love you all and look forward to speaking to this great nation this week in Wisconsin. You say, Pastor, you're just getting political by reading this. But it really doesn't matter to me what you think. It really doesn't matter. I love every one of you. But I'm telling you, if we don't fall on our knees and pray, if we don't get help from above, I'm telling you, beloved, listen this morning, that according to what I just read, this man realizes that it was a divine act of God that he's still alive. And I'll tell you this, it's the grace of God you're here this morning. It's the grace of God you're saved this morning. It's the grace of God if you're not saved, you have an opportunity to get saved. And Next, I want to say this. There was a breakdown in security at the rally. Brother Jim Hagee, he's been around me shooting a rifle. And I don't know how many times he's told me, Brother Rick, if you were in the military, you would have been a sniper. I don't say that boastfully, but you put a rifle that's accurate with a good trigger and a good scope on it in my hands, and I can hit something a long way off. A long way off. The type of weapon that was used would have been effective at 600 yards in the hands of a man that knew what he was doing. And yet this man was only 130 to 150 yards, they're saying, from the president. There was a breakdown in security. I thought about this. There will never be a breakdown. Brother Grizzle, there'll never be a breakdown in our security. We're not dependent on the Secret Service or the FBI. Brother Dale, God said, I'm going to put the Holy Ghost in you. And I'm going to go with you all the way. And the Word of God said, beloved, listen, what the Bible said over in the book of Romans. I want you to hear this. I believe it'll be a blessing in your hearing. Yes, there was a breakdown in the security last night. There's no way that there shouldn't have been at least one or two men on that roof watching that roof, let alone watching it from afar. But listen to what the Bible said. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Yes, there was a breakdown in security. But honey, if you're saved by the grace of God and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Master, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Guess what? Beloved, the Bible said it's appointed unto me and wants to die. I've got an appointment. I don't know where I'll be. I don't know what's going to take me out of here. But I know this, something's going to take me out. Say amen. And why should I fear? I'm like old Brother John R. Rice when that fella broke in on him in the motel. He said, son, you can't scare me with heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe God's people ought to have a hope that's real, both sure and steadfast, and know that we breathe our last breath here, we're going to breathe our next breath over yonder with the Lord. We have an appointment. I was going to take you to the book of 1 Kings. You can read it after a while. Chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Show you where David left out. In other words, God spared David's life here in 1 Samuel 20. But David still died after a while. President Trump's going to leave here one of these days. If Jesus comes, we pray that he would leave in the rapture. And if Jesus don't come, one way or another, he's going to leave here. One way or another, your pastor's going to leave here. One way or another, you're going to leave here. I ask young people this question all the time. Do you know anybody younger than you that's died? Because if we're not careful, we think because we're young, we're invincible. We're going to live forever. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, children pass away. Teenagers pass away. Young adults pass away. Things happen every day. Amen. And I'm telling you, it would behoove us to be ready to meet the Lord. I'll give you this, a couple more things, and I'm going to finish up. This is number 6. Communication is key. to our survival. David and Jonathan were communicating by using the bow and arrow, and by what was said, they were communicating. In other words, if he said, go beyond, get the arrow, then David knew that Saul had it in his heart to kill him. And so they were communicating. This is something that amazed me when I found this out. This was an eyewitness 2 to 3 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes before the shots were fired. There were people on the ground pointing up there and telling the law officers, there's a shooter on the roof. Gun! Gun! There's a shooter on the roof. You say, now, Pastor, why would you emphasize communication? Because it's important. You see, if that law enforcement was communicating with the counter snipers that were on the roof, the first shot from the bad guy would have never been fired. Y'all see that? Y'all remember 9/11? Do you know what the major failure was? You've got this agency and this agency and this agency. This agency don't know what this agency's doing. This agency don't know what this agency's doing. And here we are being attacked and nobody knows what's going on. Because each one of them had pieces of information, but they were not sharing them with each other. There's two things I want to emphasize here. They're very important. It's important that we communicate with each other. It's very important. I've said this for years and I'll say it again. Before our Lord comes, I believe we're going to need each other like we've never needed each other before. Many times in marriages, the first thing that goes south is communication. If you've been married very long, you've said to your wife something like this, honey, what's wrong? Nothing. What are you laughing at, Jason? Getting close over there, buddy? Amen. Michael, you need to sit there with a straight face. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Oh, she ain't here. Oh, yeah, you can do whatever you want to. She ain't here. Boss ain't here. What's wrong, honey? Nothing. Men, we're the same way. Say amen. We'll suck up, bull up. Just leave me alone. We lose communication. We've lost something that's very precious. I want to say to the children of God in this building, if there's been a communication breakdown with anybody, get it restored. I said get it restored. You say, Pastor, you got no Bible for that. Yeah, I do. If you want me, I'll read it to you. There are all kinds of it. God said, you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember your brother has all against you. He said, first get up. You say, Pastor, you practice that morning of Thanksgiving. It hurts me to tell this. But there I got up and drove all the way above Chilhowee, Virginia. My brother hadn't spoken to me in years since my daddy died. I drove up there. I left my house at 4:30 in the morning. My wife got up and said, where are you going? And then she stopped, hesitated. She said, you're going to Johnny's, aren't you? I said, yeah, I am, baby. I said, it's in my heart. Brother Wayne, I'd like to tell you that our relationship was restored, but he wouldn't receive it. I stopped and bought him and his wife a biscuit at Hardee's and Chilhowee. And all I could picture was us sitting around the table, drinking a cup of coffee and eating a sausage biscuit and fellowshipping the way we used to fellowship. Why'd you tell that story, preacher? I'll tell you why I told the story. We can't make it happen, but we ought to be willing. Communication is key to our survival. We need to communicate with each other. But in a moment, I'm going to ask everybody that will. The Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. God said, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. The most important communication, beloved, is our communication with the Lord. But what I said that verse for is if we will not refuse to communicate with each other, that He's not going to hear us. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We need to communicate. And then lastly, I want to say this. It was true in David's life. It was true in Joseph's life. It was true in our former president's life last night. It was meant for evil. But I believe God meant it for good. My wife and my granddaughter, Aubrey, was standing behind the recliner in our den when the shots were fired and the president grabbed his ear and went down. You can ask him what I said. I said, honey, they just elected him. I may be wrong. I've been wrong once or twice before. David went out in a valley, and there was a giant named Goliath. I want you all to just stop and think for just a moment about the giant that that man's been fighting since 2015. He's fighting the giant in Washington. He's fighting the giant in the courtroom. He's fighting the giant of the media. The giant, listen, I know, I'm not stupid. Anybody as rich and famous and powerful as our former president has been is not an angel. I am not stupid. I'll let you in on something. You probably wouldn't let me be your pastor if you knew everything about my past. I'm glad there's the blood of Jesus, amen? I'm glad there's mercy. I'm glad there's grace. And by the way, you probably wouldn't be sitting where you're sitting if we knew everything about you either. So get your halo off. Say amen. When the Lord found us, we was all stuck in the same muck and the same mire. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. In Joseph's life, he said it was meant for evil, but God can use it for good. God meant it for good. I'll say this and we'll have prayer. There's something that did not dawn on me until this morning. I want you to think about what I'm going to say. There have been shootings like at rock concerts. Y'all know that, right? Did you know that normally there'll be about as many people die from the stampede as there is from the bullets? If you watch it, yes, some people hunkered down, and I think that's wise. I'm going to be teaching you before long how to do that. Because if your preacher keeps preaching this Bible like he's preaching it, mark her down. You better be ready to go. But nobody ran. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was amazing that somebody would stand on the ground knowing that they could get shot in the heartbeat and gun, shooter, gun, shooter. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with the Bible? I'm trying to sound the warning. There's a devil that's after you. He don't want to just kill you. He wants to destroy your soul in hell. That's not annihilation. It's forever, forever, forever. This morning, those are just, there are probably more, but that's what God gave me. Truths from a Trump rally. We need help in America. Let me say this. I need to say this so you'll know where I stand. A few weeks ago, I found out something that really hurt me. Our former president and his wife had what they called a conservative, I don't know what you call them now, the conservative LGBTQ, whatever that is, amen. I'm not making fun, I'm not mocking, but it hurt me when I found out we got to win their vote to win the election too. In other words, I'm trying to tell you this morning that everything the Republicans are doing, this preacher don't agree with. But we are at a place in America. Where we need to choose. If you don't vote, I'm just going to say it. Get mad if you don't. Shame on you. You ought to pray. And you ought to vote. You ought to find out what the issues are. You ought to find out who's for the church and who's against the church. You ought to find out who is for the Second Amendment and who's against it. You say you're getting political? No, I just said find out. You ought to know something. But you ought to vote. You ought to vote. You ought to get somebody else to vote. I believe that'd be good. Somebody say amen. I don't think you're going to be around this church too awful long till you're going to find out that a Bible believer, like your pastor, is on the conservative side of things. Amen. Believes when a little boy is born a little boy or to stay a little boy. And when a little girl is born a little girl, it will stay a little girl. And when a little girls grow up, they ought to marry a man. And when our little boys grow up, they ought to marry a woman. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, I just believe the Bible. I believe we ought to stay away from the liquor and the beer. I believe we ought to stay out of the gambling halls. Wouldn't it be sad if we turned our backs on Jesus, Brother Junior, and this was a bingo parlor one day? It'd be sad. They're using the microphone to call the bingo numbers. You say, Pastor, that'll never happen. That's why a lot of doors are shut in America today. They thought that'll never happen. It won't happen if we take a stand. Amen. It won't happen if we take a stand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for my people. Thank you, God, for my country. Thank you for the church. God, all over America this morning, there's people praying for our country. Lord, you are what we need more than anything else. We need your grace. We need your guidance. We need your leadership. Lord, I thank you for the Truth Social post where our former president acknowledged that you spared his life. Lord, it'd be good if somebody could get with President Trump and could get with him and explain to him that that person that died, they died because of a bullet that was meant for him. Lord, when Jesus died on the cross, he died because of a bullet that was meant for us. It shouldn't have been him. It should have been us. Help us to be a thankful people. Help us, Lord, this morning to get a hold of the horns of the altar and pray. Pray for our country.